Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, we will be doing an encouraging study this evening. You probably say, well, Rick, are you going to preach encouragement? You should be preaching that all the time. Not really. But I would be preaching an encouraging message this evening. Or teaching an encouraging message. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. The word bishops, of course, is the word elders. And this is the composition of a biblical church. Elders and deacons. And so we see this. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. What a beautiful introduction. This church, Paul never said anything bad, negative about this church. Only once he chided with two ladies and tell them to speak the same thing, be of the same mind. But you don't find any rebukes, serious rebukes in this epistle. And he told me that the church at Philippi, even though it was born in persecution and suffering, Paul and Silas were beaten up and put in jail. And then they end up in Lydia's house where the church began. Here he writes to this church with this encouraging word in verse 6 of Philippians 1. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's an encouragement to the saints, to the true child of God. We are witnessing today in churches, many churches, Reformed churches as well, are falling away. And sometimes it is discouraging when you sit and you converse with ministers and you talk to them. They will tell you about their children and they'll tell you about some members of their church. And it is often discouraging. There's a great falling away, not only doctrinally, but morally speaking, men who once we thought was solid have moved away. Couples that we thought were inseparable have become separated in the church I'm speaking about. We are used to hearing these things. It is sad. And sometimes you may see kids that they leave us, and when they come back with us, they're not the same. I am very observant. They have rebelled against their parents, and they no longer hold to the standards in what they were taught. There is a great falling away in the church. But we have a great comfort in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The question may be, a good work never was started in these ones. Otherwise, it would have continued. The child of God have a great encouragement, brethren. One of the great doctrines of the acronym TULIP is the preservation of the saints. And this is what I'm talking about this evening. Every Reformed Christian should know this acronym. I was first confronted with this in a study of a pastor in New Jersey more than 40 years ago. He said, "Are you that old?" "Yes." Pastor Reverend Moore. I went into his study. I used to go into his study. And we would sit and talk. A black preacher in lower New Jersey, Phillipsburg, just near Easton. I went into his study and I picked up this book. I was drawn to it. And this was the first time I was ever confronted with Reformation. And I picked up this acronym, TULIP. You know what the two, what the letters mean. If you don't know, you should know what TULIP is. It's a system of teaching. Every Reformed Christian should know. I pick up this book by C.H. Spurgeon. Never heard of him. God used the book to open my eyes. And I come back home. I was at the Manhattan Bible Church asking questions about the nature of salvation. God opened my eyes. The five-letter word TULIP means total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation of the saints. This is the one I'm talking about tonight. The preservation of the saints means that if God has begun a good work of salvation in our hearts, God will perform that work until the day Jesus comes. Paul said he was confident of this truth to those who had truly become saved. And there were many at Philippi that Paul was speaking about. He was speaking of the gospel he preached. The word gospel is found 9 times in the book of Philippians. 5 of those times it is found in the first chapter. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Again and again, verse 4 and 5. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul prayed for those in gospel fellowship with him. First, we must define the gospel. When we rightly define the gospel, we cannot have gospel fellowship with all people who say they believe the gospel. I want you to know that. Paul defines the gospel in verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has become our Father. Notice Paul says, our Father, by means of the grace of Jesus Christ, not by the works that we have done. We must be careful that we are not followers of another gospel. Second, verses 3-5, the gospel bonds believers of every race together in fellowship. The apostle says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Where there is true gospel faith, there will be true gospel fellowship. Me and some people can't get along because our gospels are different. And you better adopt that too. Some of you can leave here and have and be very chummy with people who don't believe the gospel. I mean, you can talk to people, yeah. But be careful the kind of fellowship you're having. Prayer is one of the benefits of gospel fellowship. And that's why I wonder about some of our men. One of the reasons we are still in existence is because of the prayers of other brethren. I was talking to Jim Dom today for some time, and it was encouraging to hear that though he's up there, he's remembering us in prayer. Joy is another fruit of the gospel fellowship. Suffering also is another fruit of gospel fellowship. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. He keep repeating it. In suffering, the Philippians were still partakers with the apostle and this grace. You see, grace never hinders us from suffering. People think that grace stopped them from suffering. Grace helps us in suffering. Always remember that. We come to these words of the apostle Paul on believers' preservation in verse 6. The apostle says, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I remind the Lord about this when I pray. I said, Lord, you tell me that if you begun a good work in me, you will complete it. You promised that. I'm calling you to your promise. There is no sin that would stop God from completing what he began in my life. I hope you got this Jesus as your Savior. I really do. I am deeply concerned for some of you in this church. Deeply concerned. Some of us have been here a long time. And some of us are not in a state of grace in this church. As much as we say with our mouths, it's not seen in our lives. Grace reaches the soul and it changes the behavior. Very concerned. Every now and then you see of the flesh. Brethren, I want you to notice with me first the tone of the apostle's words. The tone. The tone of Paul's words to the saints at Philippi was one of confidence. Not wishful thinking. He says being confident of this very thing. The brethren at Philippi were not shaky in their profession of faith. They were not wishy-washy. Many in their later years have lost touch with the church, have lost touch with the Bible, have lost touch with fellowship, another word that is used in this book. There is no tone of confidence in their words. When you speak to them, there's no tone of confidence. Not arrogance, confidence. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. What I'm about to say to you Philippians and saints at large, I am saying in confidence, not arrogance. Paul had many good things to say about this church. And if you pick up any commentary, they'll tell you the same thing. Hear what the apostle said in chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, here's the word again, the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Brethren, wholesome communication is an act of love. The quickest thing that some of you can do in this modern age is to send a text or a WhatsApp or some other means of electronic communication. I need to hear your voice. You go away, you send a text. You never call. We go away, you send a text, you never call. I need to hear your voice. That's what communication is. Giving is a means of communicating. The word means sharing. We don't like to share ourselves. So we send a text. You know, they got a voicemail. Or voice, whatever. We met these men here that sacrificed their time. 9 o'clock in the night. To talk to us. Paul showed this same tone in 2 Timothy 1 and 2. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What is he talking about? What he committed to God? What he committed his soul, himself, his life. Confidence, brethren. That's the tone of the child of God. Not arrogance, be careful. There's a difference. I hear some of you talking about, "I know I'm this, I know I'm..." I'm not talking about that. We don't have any confidence in ourselves. You're heading for a fall, a serious one at that. But look at, secondly, the source of believers' preservation. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he, let's stop there, he, the noun he, refers to Christ. He is the source. If I'm the source of my preservation, I will not preserve in this wicked world. If my efforts have started this good work of salvation, my efforts have to finish the good work of salvation. And some people can play a very good game in the church, but let me tell you, you ain't gonna last. Our Savior is to be the source of our preservation. Let me give you an example. If I was to buy an electric freezer and place my good ribeye steak in the freezer, and there's no electricity to plug in that freezer into, the steaks will not preserve. You would have rotten meat. The electricity provides the source to keep your ribeye steaks. That's why sometimes we suffer from salmon. What names? Salmonids, whatever. Theophilus laughing. Because the steak you buy from the supermarket, the electricity went out, and they ain't going to tell you anything. I remember one of them was in Zimbabwe, and Dale and I and Marcel went to this restaurant, and the electricity was out like for 24 hours. And I ate there. The next day I was sick as a dog because my stomach is very funny. Nothing is wrong with Dale because he, your cousin, he didn't meet that preserved. But I got so sick by the mess I couldn't even preach the Sunday. I think I was all vomiting all over the place. But that's what I'm telling you. The source has to be he. We can say the most glorious truths about the Lord Jesus, but if he is not the source of our Christian life, we will not preserve. When God moves away those props in our lives, we will fall, whether it be a spouse or whatever, or a preacher. The Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he has begun the work, the process of saving you, he will finish it. You and I are not capable of any good work. He is. The good work in view is the work of redemption. And this is why, brethren, it is dangerous for one to say that they began the work of grace. Because if we began the work of salvation, we are obligated to finish it. God will leave us to ourselves to finish it. And that's why I say there is a great falling away in churches today. Great falling away. That this COVID has shifted the faithfulness of many men, whereby they are at home in their pajamas streaming sermons to their people. And most of their people are gone. And they want me to do that. We sat in here with 10 people during the COVID. With the gate pulled down and people think I was, some of the men think I was foolish. They didn't understand the necessity of maintaining a gospel presence here. They didn't understand. And then some of them take forever to come back when the doors were open. Make a big fuss. And all of you are here. No, none of you are dead. Would I mislead people to kill them? Why I am? I'm not Jim Jones. We are not able to keep ourselves, brethren. It's dangerous to say we began a good work. But faith rests upon God. Of course, the Lord has provided for his people the means to preserve. Jude, verse 20, 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are to be looking for the completion of our salvation, but we ought to be keeping ourselves in the love of God. A lot of people here, I don't know. God is not going to drop down to the sky and zap us with a preservation pill. Here, take this, and you're preserved. Like anesthesia or something. He has given us the means to grow in grace and to preserve. And we will preserve because he has given us the means to do it. And you know what those means are. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we see the tone of the apostle in speaking to the church at Philippi. Confidence. Can others be confident in you and me? Can your ministering servant exude this confidence in you to say this? I don't know. We don't boast about anybody. But when we minister to some people, we should have an air of confidence. And some don't give us that confidence. That's why I say I'm concerned. Very concerned, I ain't God. At all. The tone. Confidence. The source of the believer's preservation. He, which have begun a good work in you, will perform it. Lastly, the time of that completion. The time of that completion. Being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not until you sin, but until the day of Jesus Christ. Consider the words, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ's work of salvation was done once, but his work of sanctification continues until he comes. I talk about a falling away. And you see why many fall away. Many who quit to say, once saved, always saved. That's true. But some, they were never saved. Christ's work was done once to save, but his work of sanctification still continues. He's not finished with us. Jacob said, I will not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. That blessing will only be realized when he comes again. What Jacob was saying, he didn't know. But it is true. I am not letting you go until that final day you bless me. That should be my disposition. I'm not letting go until you bless me. You have to cripple me. And I ain't too far from there. The words will perform until shows that there is a continuation of what he is doing to his people. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 2, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, and this is the nature of a true believer, you're not my servants, but no much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes, we work. We use every means, Brother O'Neill, to preserve. We utilize the prayer meeting, the Bible study, the Saturday Bible study, the regular fellowship with the saints. But ultimately, it is God working in us to do his good pleasure. Don't listen to these people. Some of these people need to be in quarantine, because that kind of behavior, unfaithful behavior, is catching. It is contagious. And some of them need to be in quarantine. Hear what the preacher Charles Spurgeon said. He said this, and I quote, the Christian will not be perfected until the Lord Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trumpet of the archangel and the voice of God. That day of the second coming is set as the day of the finished work which God has begun. Then, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, body, soul, and spirit shall see the face of God with acceptance and forever and ever rejoice in the pleasures which are at God's right hand. This is what we are looking forward to, that God, who taught us to repent, will wholly sanctify us. Spurgeon, the preacher, the good preacher. If you and I, brethren, are dormant when it comes to sanctification and growing in grace, do not expect preservation to be something abstract. I find that many of us are still set in our own sinful ways that fleshes out in orbit of the brethren and with the brethren. And the pastor is here to address it. the time of completion of the good work God started in us will finish the last day. He's the author. They ain't finished yet. Today is still the day of grace. We shall see him as he is. Everyone with this hope purifies himself day by day. I hear Frank Lee use the word Sunday night that I use. Fight. You heard him if he was listening. Fight with yourself and your sin. Keep fighting to keep your flesh down. Some of you, when you turn in the morning and your back hurt, you're, oh, Pastor, can I come to you? Pat Jones, give me a pair of, what kind of socks you call them? Compression socks, Jackie. Old man now. Wearing that poor compression socks. I tell you one thing, Sunday I was walking straight up. I said, Pat, thanks for the compression socks. I don't know what they did, but my leg didn't hurt me as much. And that's why you said it was erect. But this is not anything to do with what I'm saying. The time of God's work will be completed. Paul's tone to the Philippians was one of confidence. And a minister ought to be able to express a measure of confidence with those who are truly saved. You don't know, but you should be confident. Brother so-and-so wouldn't do that. But we're living in a day that you don't know what Brother so-and-so and Brother Sister so-and-so would do. Or would say. You don't have that confidence. Distrust runs across this church and this ministry. Distrust in our brethren. It shouldn't be like that. It should be confidence, brethren. We should have a measure of confidence in those who say they are saved. Paul also saw the source of preservation. He, Christ, and finally, the timing of the completion of salvation when he appears. In the meantime, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God by utilizing every means that he has given us. And this is what I have to share this evening. And I'm thankful that I was given this evening to minister. May the Lord open our eyes to these thoughts.